This episode is part of the Hope Project podcast series, co-financed by the European Commission.
Hello and welcome to this podcast in the series of the Hope Project podcast creation. We have with us the director of the Center of Higher Education and Theatre Studies, Mr. Nicholas Kamtsis, who was also a partner in the Hope Project. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I would like to ask you, first of all, the Hope Project has as a name to promote peace education for young people, especially in this context that we are living today. Why you think that peace education is an important issue to address?
Well, we used to believe and to think that the way that we can make steps in front, steps forward, is the conflict and the war. But there is a controversial with the period that in peace we are more creative, we leave our imagination, our creativity, our sensitivity to develop. So that's why the people, humanity, and especially the young people, must believe in polite dialogue between the individuals, between the countries, between the unions, between everything. So that's why peace is a creative period we have to spend in order to create new things, to create new art things, whatever. Briefly, that is my opinion that I have in my mind right now.
Okay, and also, why do you think a theater is a good way to achieve peace education? So why peace education in theater can be effective?
Yes. Now, you speak with a person that thinks that theater is for everything. Theater helps everything. Theater give and provide the tools in order to approach many different controversial things. So, as we prove through the Hope Project, we make case studies, and we will speak about them, that we prove that theater can approach and make the people to think and to believe that in peace, in peace ways to confront many and different phenomena.
You made the research about ancient civilizations and peace. So in Greece, which ancient civilizations you have selected as examples of peaceful cohabitation, let's say, peaceful society?
Yeah. Well, yes, our research approached ancient Greek civilization, especially the Cycladic civilization. With Cycladic civilization and in conjunction with this, we examine and expanded our understanding of Minoan and Mykenean civilization, and even more when we just touch it, the Cyprian civilization. From the moment it developed on the islands of the Aegean Sea, the Cycladic civilization had the opportunity to enjoy long periods of peace. However, it was also influenced by events on the Greek mainland and by the Minoan civilization. We confront this civilization not as something distant and frozen and dead, but as a living field of reflection. Its heart lies a serious question. What kind of societies flourish when peace, cooperation, culture, and exchange are given space to grow? In the project research, peaceful development is connected with, let's say, cultural flourishing, economic prosperity, harmony, social harmony, stability, political stability, human development, and even sometimes, yes, environmental awareness. So from the very beginning, the Greek contribution, we have to say that, gives to whole project a strong human meaning. Like we believe that is exist exist in Cycladic civilization. From there, the Greek research turns to prehistoric and Bronze Age, especially the Bronze Age worlds of the Greek peninsula. It makes a careful but important arguments. There is limited evidence for societies that lived in lasting peace, yet some of the clearest example of flourishing under relatively stable condition appear in the island cultures of Aegean Sea. The research especially highlights the Cycladic civilization and, with some caution, the Minoan civilization as well. At the same time, it is honest about the limits of certainty, because prehistoric comes before full written records. We have to say that. We try to describe peace in a simple or absolute way. I think that this caution is one of the of our strength of the Greek research. It avoids somehow, but we take some examples, and I will speak about that. We avoid to base mainly on mythology as a historic, and instead tries to read archaeology, settlement patterns, material, culture, and trade together. In the research, the Cycladic Islands appears as a maritime world shaped by trade, artistic skills, and ritual life. We read about their famous marble figurines, for example, their pottery, their metallurgy, their organized settlements, and their role in exchange networks across Aegean Sea. The material also stresses that the absence of, let's say, a strong fortification in many settlements, together with emphasis on trade over war, suggests a society where cultural and economic life could develop in relative stability. This matters deeply for the message of Hope Project, because it reminds us that civilization is not created only by war, as I mentioned before, and conquest. It can also be built through art, or craftsmanship, exchange, polite exchange, spirituality, community, where the people live together in harmony. Crete, we have to say about and to mention about Crete, offers a second great focus, the Minoan civilization. Well, the Minoan civilization is presented as one of the most philosophical, sophisticated worlds of the Bronze Age, with palaces, frescoes, ritual spaces, writing systems, and wide Mediterranean trade networks. But again, the Greek research refuses the easy idealization, let's say. It acknowledges uncertainty, possible instability, natural disaster such as eruption of Thera, and the later rise of Mycenaean influence. That balance is important. The Minoan world, in this sense, becomes a lesson in both cultural brilliance and historical vulnerability. Well, in relation with literature and mythology, I mentioned before, we didn't ignore it, but we take advantage by them. For example, the Greek research also moves beyond civilization and into human figures that still speak powerfully to us here now, to the contemporary world. Odysseus, for example, appears as a hero of intelligence, endurance, adaptability, and longing for home, but also as a deeply flawed figure marked by pride and moral ambiguity. What else? Orpheus represents the transforming force of art, music, spiritual imagination, a figure whose song could move not only human beings, but nature itself and even the underworld. Well, another hero is Philoctetes. From the other side, introduces another truth: suffering, exclusion, wounded dignity, and eventual return. Through these figures, the Greek contribution to hope becomes richer. It reminds us that history is not only about monuments and systems and abandoned marbles, for example. It is also about inner struggle, resilience, loss, creativity, and search for meaning. Well, in the end, the Greek research in the HOPE Erasmus Plus project builds a bridge between archaeology, myth, education, ethics. It asks what ancient world can still teach us about coexistence, creativity, and human depth. It is also asked how we can speak about peace without consider about the past, and how memory can become a tool not just for a picturesque nostalgia, but of reflection and responsibility. Oh, that is why this research matters today, I think. This is my opinion. It invites us not simply to admire ancient civilization, but to listen to them, to critically and imaginatively, to get some conclusions still now from this civilization. And perhaps that it is the deepest meaning of hope, probably, from my point of view, to look back with intelligence so that we may move forward with greater humanity, if we can say this in this time that we live right now.
Okay. HOPE has created also a handbook based on different examples of activities that a teacher or a youth worker could implement with young people in their own country, that many of them are inspired by ancient civilizations, or some of them are from more contemporary history. So, can you give us an example about a case study that you have developed in the framework of HOPE?
Yes, our contribution in the handbook was, as I mentioned before, and I analyzed in details before, about the case studies. Well, in the workshop of the Hope project, I really make some of I think about the most case studies I ever made. I did not want to speak about peace only as an abstract idea generally, or as a beautiful word that everyone repeats and after some minutes forget it. I wanted the participant to approach, especially we have to make with young people, I wanted to the participants to approach peace through action, memory, imagination, history, and theater. That is why the case studies I designed were practical, well, enough participatory, I think, and theatrical at the same time. They were built in a way that allowed people not only to understand the subject intellectually, but to feel it, test it, discuss it, and embody it. The first case study, just a moment, the first case study returned. The title was Return to the Wise Grandpaps, Grandfathers, brought participants into a contact with the great thinkers of classical Greece, especially Plato, Aristotle, and Thucydides. It was a workshop that we made in Crete, to the meeting we had in Crete. The aims was not simply to read old text, but to discover how deeply ancient thought still speaks to the modern world. The participants worked with selected passages on war, democracy, peaceful coexistence, justice, and responsibility. They reflected on whether power alone should rule relation between states and people, or whether civilization must be based on humanity, on respect or and m mo moral restraint. There was also a strong symbolic and theatrical element. The participant painted stones with symbols of war and peace, listened to a dramatic letter inspired by Thucydides, discussed the consequences of war on work, family, education, justice, and finally, that I think it was very responsible and significant, that finally they voted in an almost ancient ritual way. In that case, study philosophy became, I think, I believe, became a living experience. A second case study, it was the chronology of personalities. It was a case study that I made in Belgrade. Well, the chronology of personalities, as the title is, approached peace through the lives of important 20th century figures from politics, science, culture, public life. Here, the participants built a human timeline. They moved physically through space, placed personality in history, researched unknown figures for them, and gradually reconstructed the century not through battles and dates alone, but through people who shaped events and influenced the struggle between war and peace. What made this activity especially powerful was that the theatrical phase that followed. Participants create dialogues between historical figures, imagined urgent phone calls, for example, confrontations, or dramatic moments, and in this way transformed history into living theater. So memory, research, teamwork, and performance were united in one process. Sometimes of this workshop, the participants make dialogues between these two meaning peace and war, between two people that never meet themselves from other civilization, from other countries. I don't remember very specific names right now, but it was very possible to see in that case study Mahatma Gandhi to make a discussion with Mussolini, for example. Anyway, and there were also a third case studies, the Peace Tree, used the storytelling and symbolic action in this activity to imaginary kingdom are divided by conflict while two children from opposite sides dare to meet, speak, cooperate, and search together for the tree of peace. Well, I choose to make this case study based on a fairy tale, imaginative fairy tale, in order to give to the educators, to the teachers, that they want to use the method, to give them a way very familiar to the children, especially in elementary school, the storytelling. Anyway, the participants in this case study rebuilt the story piece by piece, solved riddles related to peace, worked in teams, and finally reached the central message. What is the central message? Is peace cannot simply be handed to us. It must be cultivated like a tree. The final act, when participants planted symbolic seeds, we gave them in soil and took them home, gave the workshop a simple but very strong image. Peace became something fragile, living, and demanding care. I hope that there were some teachers that implement this case study, especially with young children. Well, if we want to take it together, these three case studies show the central method of my work in Hope Project. I try to connect history, philosophy, theater, collective reflection, and symbolic action all together. I believe people learn more deeply when they do not just listen, but participate. And I believe peace education becomes far stronger when it passes through the body, through the imagination, the emotions, and the shared experience of the group. Well, that for me was the real value of these workshops, connected with the theory that we try to put it in the handbook. As we make all these research about the Cycladic civilization and Minoan civilization, a little bit the Cyprian civilization.
Okay, this is great. Thank you very much for your participation in this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The podcast is co-funded by the European Union. Views and opinion expressed are, however, those of the artists involved only and do not necessarily reflect those of the European Union or the European Education and Culture Executive Agency. Neither the European Union nor EACEA can be held responsible for them.